Good morning.
It is good to see everybody, and I also want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. Steve Clifton took my place last week, and he did a good job. He did a good job kind of summarizing Neighborhood Clifton and also the series that I'm in the middle of, Love Shines, and also giving you maybe some deeper questions that are coming from that. And so I hope that after we're done here this morning, we have a couple of deeper questions that you can go home continuing to think about that. As far as Neighborhood Clifton goes, I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the middle of my lesson because it relates. But I also wanted to, it was such a great time of unity and showing the community God's love for them. And one of the things that I'd like to do from here on out is to pray for one of the churches each week. This week I've chosen to pray for Gospel Lighthouse down Highway 6 because one of the ladies from there called me this week looking for somebody because their building has flooded again. I think it's happened, you know, it used to happen here. It's happened a few times in the last 3 years for them, and she was asking for some help, you know, maybe some names or something, somebody to help them figure out what to do with that. So I'm going to pray for them now. Father, we thank you for this church, this congregation. We thank you for this community. We ask your blessings on your followers, your believers that attend the Old Gospel Lighthouse. Father, we pray that you will help them find relief in the flooding of their building. The work that they do in public housing with some of the children, I pray that you will bless that, that people will come to know you as Lord and Savior because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Love Shines this week. Love God, love people. From Matthew 22. So, two greatest commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. I had a man in St. Louis that trained us before we went to Thailand that just summarized that as love God, love people. So I'm going to talk about that. But before I do, I have a story that kind of relates to mothers and love. I don't know if you know, but when I was 12 years old, 7th grade, so about Zachary's age, size, everything. Now Zachary just turned 13 a couple months ago, but he's in 7th grade. And so earlier in 7th grade, we were both 12 years old. When I was his age, 12 years old, I got shot. And now, not quite what you think. So me and a friend of mine decided we would go camp out at the lake overnight fishing. I asked my mom and dad, moms, what would you say? No. Dads, what would you say? That's what happened in my family. Mom said, no. Dad said, oh, it's okay. He could do it. You know? And I was like, yes, yes. And so I remember a little bit of a discussion there. And then I guess Dad won because I got to go. And we fought off water moccasins. We caught perch and then cut the perch up and kept fishing for catfish with them. And we fought off water moccasins most of the evening. Even had them wrap up around our metal stringer and take fish off. It was crazy. But that I was used to that. I'd grown up around that. And then about after midnight, a friend of mine, not the one I'm spending the night with at the lake, a friend of mine comes with his older brother. And he comes holding a BB gun, and he walks up to me, Zachary, from about this far away, about 3 feet away, pointing the gun at me. Well, I thought, okay, I knew it was a BB gun, so I wasn't too scared. And we used to have BB gun fights. We had a rule, don't shoot above the neck. So it's a wonder we didn't lose our eyes. But this was a little bit different. And then he shoots me, and he laughs. He had put a matchstick in there, not a BB. So he thought it's going to hit me and, you know, sting a little bit, hurt. Well, it stuck in me. And then I pulled it out, I thought. This was Friday night. So I stayed out all night. Saturday morning I come home, but I'm kind of hurting. And mom was right, right? Shouldn't have let me go. Let my dad know about it. Monday comes. I go to school, but it's really hurting me. And when I come home from school, it's all swollen. It's infected. Turns out part of the matchstick broke off in when I tried to pull it out. I only pulled half of it out. I won't go through the rest of the story. My wife, it's a good thing she's teaching God's Flower. She hates this story. Anyway, my dad did some home surgery, and I was all better. But that's the way it used to be back when. All right. The reason I tell that story, Bob Goff is a writer. He writes a book called Love Does, and he tells a story, same kind of thing. He got a BB gun when he was really young, and then when he was 15 years old with a friend of his, they went out in the woods, and his friend, he still had his old BB gun from when he was 7 or 8. His friend's BB gun had broken, and he got a pellet gun. Well, they used to have BB gun fights. Well, at one time, his friend decides to shoot him with this pellet gun. Well, when you know it, pellet goes in him. They go home to his house. He says in the book that they pour scope all over it and then use tweezers to get the pellet out. So it worked, evidently. He said there was a lot of blood. But the reason he tells this story, second chapter of Love Does called Sniper Fire, the reason Bob Goff tells this story is, as he said, this man, this boy, my friend Doug, it was there in his house, in his room, after that happens, that I first heard the story about Jesus. His friend Doug tells him about Jesus. I don't know if he thought he was going to die or what, but he tells him about, it doesn't say that in the book, he just tells him about Jesus. And so Bob Goff says, this is the first time I've heard the story of Jesus. And so from that point on, you know, I'm friends with Doug to this day. And so his point in the chapter was, we can hear about Jesus from all sorts of people, from all sorts of different angles. From, you know, it's not like church Sunday mornings that you hear the story of Jesus only. It's all kinds of ways. Two questions. One, first question, is there a typical way for us to show the love of God to other people? My opinion is that there's not a typical way. We are all atypical, whether we think so or not. We're all different. We're all atypical. We all have our own strengths, our own weaknesses, our own hobbies, our own likes, dislikes, our own personalities. And we need to be able to share the love of Jesus with whatever we do. And this guy, Doug, even though they were always going out, that was the moment he chose to share the love of Jesus with his 15-year-old friend. And so I believe that we're all atypical. Somehow, we come to church together on Sunday morning, and we try to be typical. We try to all do the same thing and act the same way. And I don't think that's the way God intended it. I don't think that's it. So, what I hope us to see this morning is that we all have different gifts, and it may be, you know, you may want to give gifts is a way to show the love of Jesus. You may want to do service, as we've talked about with Neighborhood Clifton. You may want to take somebody fishing. You may want to make somebody food. You may want to send somebody a card. You may want to just spend time with the person, my favorite. Any way you can to show someone the love of Jesus. So, Romans 12, 6 and 7 says this about this atypical thing. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. Verse 8, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. The verse just illustrates that God made us all unique and that God wants to use every one of us. He doesn't just use Sunday mornings. He doesn't just use preachers. He better not. It'll never get done, all right? Needs to use every one of you in your own ways, with your own hobbies, with your own friends, just like Doug did to Bob after he shot it. It's funny, but this is how God wants it to be. So, my second question, when is the church acting like the church the most? When is the church acting most like the church? Now, we may say 10 to 11, 15 on Sunday morning. hopefully we don't. We may say, well, so my experience has been varied. In Minnesota, we met in storefront for worship. We met in a hotel for worship. We met in our house for worship. Last Sunday in Colorado Springs, after the wedding that we went to on Saturday, we're meeting with friends, and he had a group that meets in his home for worship services on Sunday morning. And so he asked me to share. So last Sunday morning, I shared from the group in Colorado Springs, small group, less than 20 people, in their backyard. Sunday morning, sunshine, it was great, singing songs out there in the backyard. I don't know what the neighbors thought, used to it by now, right? Probably wondered about what was going on the first few times they did it, but we worshiped and we met and we studied the Bible and we talked and prayed and had communion in their backyard last Sunday morning. So I'm not sure when you think the church is actually being the church. It could be in the bush in Uganda. It doesn't matter where. Because worship and a relationship with God is of the heart, okay? And I hope that we kind of, in our minds, don't think that church is here only. In fact, the evangelism part of it better be out there in a lot of other ways. So, getting to love God, love people, Matthew 22, Jesus says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in the religious law, tried to trap him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?' Jesus replied, 'You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments.'" So, a couple of weeks ago when we did Neighborhood Clifton, I know that people saw people loving their neighbor and making a difference. So, got a few pictures. Here, Charles Lindley is putting away some of the donuts. All right. Here we got a pair of jacks. A pair of jacks is pretty good. You could do better than a pair of jacks, but a pair of jacks is pretty good. But one of these jacks painted address numbers on the curbs. One of these jacks helped us feed breakfast to the housing authority people in the housing authority homes at the community center at the end of Avenue J. Here we've got Susan and Bonnie and Josie preparing care packages that we sent to people that we had a list of names of, college students, military, different people. So that was done here at the building. They were the leaders of that. Terry and Debbie were putting together bags of blessing. If you don't know, we have a blessing box that a lot of the ladies put bags of blessing in that has snacks and water and some other things in this bag. And we put a couple of bags out there every day. They're always gone every day. Could do more than that. And so they were working on that. What do you see in this picture? Exactly. One woman doing the work, six or seven guys standing around talking. But that's one of the things we do. All right. So besides the stuff done here at the building, Doug's out there mowing a yard. We did a lot of that. And that's probably the thing that we have to improve on the most next year, because several people went to several of the same yards until they found one that wasn't being mowed. But it got done. Now here, I don't know if this is Joel and Caitlin or Joel and Shantae. Okay, all right, it's Joel and Shantae. They're working. It looks like they're just staring at the ground. Okay, but you got to remember, it's a still photo. If you see, Shantae's hands are moving because it's a little blurred there. So they cleaned up a yard. They picked up trash. They actually had a hard job. Raymond was in charge. Raymond went by to look at this address and said, "I don't really see anything. It looks pretty easy." Ryan went by because he was going to be assigned to the yard. He went by and said, "I can't see too much." Ryan and I were talking that morning over donuts, and he said, "You'll probably get done in half hour or come back." Well, they had one of the hardest jobs. So anyway, you never know, but it was good. Now, here's something I want to tell you about. So at the rehab place, nursing home rehab over by Brookshire's, they have one wing that is locked up so that the residents can't leave. And at the other end of that wing, they have a fenced-in area where, with supervision, they can go out into this outside. And it's just a weathered wooden fence is all that's out there. Well, one of the ladies in Clifton drew the outlines, and then a bunch of kids from the Catholic Church and a couple other churches and some other adults painted these designs on their fence so that when they're out there, they have something better to look at. And part of the fence is in their cafeteria where they eat all their meals. You look out, and it looks a little brighter. So here's one of the pictures. Here's another one. And here's another one. So they did a really good job. And just so I went by there afterwards and talked to some of the residents. Just think about how their life has brightened up. It's a simple thing. You know, Celia fed filled birdhouses. And so we want to do this again next year. We want to do it more than just once a year, but once a year as a community, that's all we're going to stick to. Celia said, no one's getting my job. I loved filling those bird feeders so at the old folks' home, so I'm going to do that again. So do the same thing you did. Do something different. Try something different if you didn't have it, but we want to continue doing that. So, and then afterwards at noon, we met at the city park for lunch. 300 barbecue sandwiches were made. I don't know how many pimento cheese sandwiches we made. 62. And then we had leftover breakfast burritos that we had that morning that we didn't give away all of them, so we brought them out there. And I know that there were only about 30 sandwiches left over out of all that. All the breakfast burritos went. So we probably had about 300 people out there at the city park and enjoying time together, fellowship together, and a meal together. And now, God blessed us with great weather. It was a great day, you know, and I just was very pleased with you and the community. I'm going to brag on you because it's the first year we did it, but as someone said, we need to be doing this kind of stuff all the time, so we don't want to brag on ourselves too much. And I do know, and Steve probably talked about it last week, you do stuff like this often. You do stuff like this more often with those in need. This is just one day we wanted to focus and bring it all together with a bunch of other churches. So I want us to be thinking about loving our neighbor. I want us to be thinking about how that kind of service, those kinds of things, lead people to say, okay, well, you know, what about God? What about Jesus? And we have an opportunity to share with them. We don't have to go shoot them to share with them. We can go serve them. We have an opportunity. And all of the things that get done, people notice. We need to engage with people in the community to do that. So, if we go on, Romans 12 says this. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. It doesn't say they deserve it. It doesn't say they deserve honor. It doesn't say they deserve to be loved. It says love each other and honor each other. And that's what we need to do. Now, you show somebody love, you might get hurt. They might not be thankful. Everyone I know was, but that we, and usually people are. But you may get hurt. They may not love you back. They may not be thankful. But see, that's not what Jesus just says, do it, okay? And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Later, next verse in chapter 12, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Now, this church does a good job at that. I want to say this, though. This is just something for us to think about. Tina and I grew up in Texas. We grew up in the South. Heard this thing about Southern hospitality. Never really knew what it was because this is the only place we've ever lived. We went to the North. We went to Minnesota for 17 years. It is different. They don't have Southern hospitality, but the Southern hospitality is great unless We think every time we have to help somebody or share a meal with somebody, we have to do it up big. See, I think sometimes we think that. I think sometimes we get to this thing, oh, well, I can't have somebody over my house because I don't have an empty bed for them. Oh, I can't have somebody over for a meal because I don't have time to cook a Thanksgiving meal for them that evening. Folks, the relationship is what you need. We had kids in our house every Wednesday night in Minnesota, you know, and we fed them frozen pizzas for 2 years because that's all we did and all we could afford, and it was easy. We finally graduated to fixing some meals for them. Sometimes we ran out of food. They loved it. We loved it. The relationship, the fellowship is what's most important. It doesn't matter if you have an empty bed. They can sleep on the floor. We love to sleep on the floor, you know, just to be with people that we love. So when we're talking about hospitality, just the standard doesn't have to be way up here. Don't let that keep you from sharing with people and sharing a meal with people or sharing hospitality. All right, I'm going to move on. Almost done. Verse 16 of Romans 12, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Romans 12 is a great chapter. And it's pretty plain. And it talks about a wide variety of stuff, but mainly us sacrificing our life for others. Alright, so here's the principles that I want us to end with. These wise principles from Matthew 22, love God, love people. The more I grow in my love for God, the more I grow in my love for people. Makes pretty good sense, right? The more we grow to love God, the more we understand His love for us, the more we want to go and share that love for other people. The one that I've thought more about lately is this one. The more I grow in my love for people, the more I grow in my love for God. All right. Let me explain to you what I mean. The more we serve and love other people, sometimes you do get hurt. Sometimes they're not thankful. Sometimes you're disappointed. It helps me grow and understand my love for God because it helps me understand His love for me. Sometimes I'm not thankful to God. Sometimes I make the wrong decision and I may be disappointing Him. Sometimes I break God's heart. The more I love and serve people and maybe experience some of that, the more I really understand God's love for me and how great it is because I do that with Him. None of us are perfect. God sees that. And so when we are loving other people, and if it doesn't go exactly how we have it planned, hopefully all that does is show us, hey, God's done that for all of us, and He continues to love us. It's unconditional. His love for us is unconditional, and it doesn't matter. All right, so last slide. This is what we learned. I've tried to put color in this because I want you to notice it. I don't want you to go to sleep. Church doesn't just happen on Sundays. Okay? Number one, church doesn't just happen on Sundays. You have to engage. You have to experience. You have to remember. I read something that made me think of this. I can't remember now where I read it. But mine and Tina's dating relationship, man, I can remember everything really clearly. She doesn't always think I do, but I do. But if you told me your story, how you met your spouse or whatever, I might think, hey, that's a great story. But week later, month later, years later, I'm not going to remember it. Why? I didn't experience it. I wasn't there. When we are sharing God's love with other people, like with Neighborhood Clifton or some other way, inviting them over to our house for a meal. When you experience it, when you engage people on that experiential level, rather than just me talking on Sunday morning, you remember it. It sinks in. The love of God goes where it needs to go, deeper in someone's heart. And so that's why that has to be a part of what we do. And then loving people will help you more fully understand and appreciate God's love for you. And that's what I talked about. If we, as brothers and sisters, if you have not ever claimed Jesus Christ as Savior and obeyed God's word, what he says do to make Jesus Christ your Savior, you repent, you confess, you say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You repent and say, I'm not going to live my life for myself and my own desires anymore. I am going to take my life and I'm going to determine what God wants me to do. And that's how I'm going to live my life from now on. Bible talks about being baptized as a symbol of that commitment. If you have any questions about that, then we want to answer those this morning. And if you have time, we'll do it here. If you want to just come up to one of the elders and say, hey, I want to talk about that more later, we'll set up a time. So we're about to sing a song, and we're going to give you opportunity to pray with our elders, to pray for a neighbor who has a need, to ask more questions about what it means to commit your life to Jesus Christ, knowing that he gave his life for you and the unconditional love that God the Father has for all of us. Any questions, come and talk to us while we stand, while we sing.